Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this time and opportunity that you have given us together to come before you as your children during this Advent season to praise you and glorify you. Lord, we thank you for the various ways that you bless us, even when we are not aware of it. You give us health and strength in our bodies. You gave us a life in this world as a gift. Continue to sustain us, Lord, in the times of trouble. You are there to help us. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, a place near altar of our God and our King, as the psalmist says. Lord, we come before your altar and present ourselves as an offering of praise and worship today. Let your presence fill our hearts and minds during this season, to flood our souls with your love and to overflow that love to this world through us, Lord. Thank you for guiding us and giving us all the things that we need. Above all, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who came to this world to become a sacrifice for our sins so that we could become your children. What a great love that God has shown to us even when we were yet sinners. And we come before you with gratitude and joy overflowing in our hearts because of that. Bless us today, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints around the world and the angels in heaven. Let your name be glorified and your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in our mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is our greeting time that we can stand up and greet each other and wave each other, and also online we can say hi to each other.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Martha. Good morning, Jan and Harry. Good morning. Good morning, Bob and Kathy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to see you all. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Chuck and Vicky. Nice to see you all online. Miss Lou and James, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Pretty good. JC, yeah. Good morning. Thanks for joining. Did I miss anyone? I think we have all that. Good morning, you everyone here. Thanks for joining us here today. We will do the lighting of the Advent candle. We celebrate joy as the celebration today from the reading, and also lighting the Advent candle. Haley and Kyle and the children will be doing the Advent candle of joy today.
Today we relight the candles of hope and love, along with the third candle of joy. We light this candle to bring joy among all people. Sometimes on our journey, our feet get heavy, our shoulders feel burdened, and our hearts seem slow. Sometimes in the preparation, the busyness overwhelms us, and we get lost in the doing and the planning. Why do we do all of this? Why is this journey necessary? The answer is simple: for the joy of it. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that God may teach us the ways of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Christians.
Now the choir will be singing an anthem, Joy Unspeakable. Please remain seated and follow that if you would in the red book, page 255. Please stand for the responsive reading, which is Psalm 16, verses 5 to 11. You can follow that on the insert in your bulletin as well.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have had a glorious heritage.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not be moved.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also dwells secure.
For you do not give me up to show, or let your godly one see the pit.
You show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God.
Please be seated. This is our prayer time that we come together as a church family to share our prayers of blessings and thank God together as His children. And also we share our prayers of petitions and burdens together as a church family and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. God's promise is that He will answer our prayers according to His time and according to His grace. And let us hold on to that promise and bring up our prayers, our petitions and burdens as well together. Turn with me to the back of the bulletin where our regular prayer requests are listed. Please use this as a regular prayer list for your personal prayers. And lift them up, these people and these items, in our prayers. As we continue to pray for Martha and Jack in their continued healing, please remember them in our prayers and continue to pray. Thank you, Jack, for joining us today in church. And thank you also, Martha, for joining online. You are all in our prayers. Any other special items to call out? Anybody know Eddie?
Anybody have an update on Eddie?
That's what I was asking, yeah. I haven't heard anything.
Gail talked to him last week. He said as soon as he gets his COVID vaccine, he'll be here every Sunday.
Yeah, it's on the way.
But he's waiting to get his COVID vaccine before he comes back. He's
is he
nervous.
At home or with
I
someone?
I talked to him this morning, and he is doing okay.
Okay.
But he's just a little afraid.
That's fine.
I think
okay.
His doctor told him.
Yeah, nice to hear that.
Tell him we're small.
Is he at home? Or
yeah, he was at home.
With the family. Okay.
All right. Anyone else?
I spoke with Gene Brown this week. He was very coherent. He understood everything. He's very physically weak. And he reminded me that he will be 92 this month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
And that he preached until he was 90.
Oh, wow. Okay, what a great testimony that is. So let us continue to keep our former pastor, Gene Brown, and his family in prayers as well. Thank you for joining us from Gene's family. All of you have joined. Anyone else? Yes, Margaret.
I cannot name names or anything. There's a very tragic something I found out this week. And it's really so sad. And I promise this girl would not tell about it and name names, but it's about two kids. And one was dead and the other was in jail. But we just need to pray for that family. It's destroyed their life. And have a little comment.
Yeah. I think it was on the news too. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll keep them in our prayers. It's a very tragic situation. Anyone else online? Anything to share for your prayers?
Well, I'd just like to thank you for thank you, Piedmont Church, and thank God also for my nephew. He had tested positive for COVID, but he's fine now, and he's going back to work. And then there's another family at my hometown, the Stevens family. So the husband and the wife both have COVID. He passed away last week, and she's on a ventilator. She's not doing good at all. And I think her name is Julie Mae Stevens. I'm asking for prayer for her.
Okay, we'll pray for that. What's the last name again?
Stevens.
Stevens, okay.
T-E-V-E-N. The husband passed away. They buried him last. They buried him Saturday.
Are there any special items to call out?
Prayers for the family of Horace Sanford, who passed away. Delonica area.
Stanford.
Sanford.
Let us continue to pray for our nation and also the leaders of this country as we are continuing with the various political transitions and also the pandemic. glad to know that there's a vaccine that has been released, and I believe the trucks are on the road now, shipping those to the States as we speak. What a great, great achievement that we have. It is only because of God's grace happened. And let us keep all of those researchers and doctors and nurses and who work in their field and thankful for their contributions, and also lift up the work that they are doing to continue to have more vaccines produced so we can all get vaccinated soon. Let us keep all of the frontline workers, the medical personnel, doctors and nurses and technicians who work behind the scenes, putting their lives at risk to treat the COVID patients and also the regular patients, particularly in states where the numbers are rising so much. Some of the states have their emergencies full already, and those are becoming alarming situations. So let us keep them in our prayers for their safety and also for the work that they are doing, to continue to do their work. Let us also keep our fire, police, first responders, our delivery people, trash workers. A lot of people are working daily. Even when many of us are shut out in our homes, those people are working on the streets, out there working for us. Let us be thankful for that during this season, and thankful to God for that, for their services. And keep them and their families in our prayers for their safety. Any other items? If not, let us go to God in prayer. Spend a few moments in silent prayer where you can bring up your unspoken prayers. And after that, I will summarize with a closing prayer. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children, trusting in your promises, that you are there listening to our every sighs and every tears and every prayers that we make. Even when we are sinners, you love us, Lord, and we thank you for your grace. As we come before you, Lord, we pray that you will bless us as your children as we bring up our praises and also our concerns. Thank you for the great news about healing that you have given in many of us in our bodies. Particularly, thank you for Ms. Lou's nephew who came back to work after COVID. And we thank you for the healing that you have given to him, and also continue to recover him and his family from the difficult time that they have. We pray for those who are struggling with various issues, Lord, at this time. We pray for Jack and Martha as they continue to do their procedures. Be with them and guide them and heal them, Lord, according to your grace. Above all, we pray for peace and comfort in their hearts and minds, and also the ones in their families. We pray for the family who has struck with the tragedy of the little children in our city this past week. We pray that you will comfort them during this time, and also guide them with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that they will be guided the right way to handle the situation that they are facing now. We also pray for those who have are grieving at the death of their dear ones, particularly the Stevens family, and also recovering from COVID. We pray that your special grace be upon them and give them your peace and comforting presence during this time. We also pray for the Sanford family, who is also grieving, who are grieving at the passing of Cora. We pray that you will continue to bless them with your peace. We pray for all those who are working during this time to sustain us during this pandemic. We pray for the doctors and nurses and all the medical professionals. Particularly, we thank you for the vaccine that has been released this weekend, that it will become effective and also that it will be accepted and received by all the people that we need to serve during this time. We pray for all those frontline workers who are risking their lives, the fire and the police and the stock workers and the grocery workers, trash workers and mailmen, delivery people, a lot of people that named and unnamed are working behind the scenes to help us, Lord. We thank you for their great service during this time, and we pray for their continued safety. Only you are the one who can give a safe environment. We pray for them and their families, and also thank you for providing such services during this time. We pray for our nation as a whole as we celebrate the holidays. A lot of people are struggling with various issues, Lord. We also pray for the leaders of this country as they are working towards the transition. Whatever way it works out, Lord, let your name be glorified so that this nation can be strong and be the leader that God wanted this country to be and continue to be leading this world. We thank you for this church as a family that we can come together and share these prayers together, Lord. Continue to guide us as a church, Lord, to be faithful in this community, to do your work the way that you have given us to do, to faithfully the time that you have given us, Lord, to use it wisely. We thank you for the choir, the leaders of the church, all those who are giving their services and time and their energy to support this church. We thank you for all those who have gathered here today. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Continue to guide us, Lord, to do your work faithfully. As we come before you, bless us, Lord, with your presence, and bless us with your word today as we go from this place, so that we will be more powerful witnesses for you in the community that you place us, and also the days that you have given us to in the future. Bless us, Lord, as we worship you in truth and in spirit. We pray this prayer in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward to take up the offering, please.
Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the blessing of this church that you have given us to fellowship together and to worship together in this place. We know that it is from your hand that we have received all that we have and all we are. Through Jesus Christ, you have given us the gift of salvation in spite of our sinful nature. Living God, you are the source of life and renewal. Thank you for your powerful and the miraculous ways that you are providing for our needs. We thank you for the gift that is present here today, Lord, and we pray that you will take this offering and use it for the glory of your kingdom and the blessing of this world. We thank you for all those who were able to give joyfully, and also pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offering to share your love to this world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading that is taken from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1 verses 46 through 55.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord,
and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior,
for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed.
For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name.
His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation.
He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts.
He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble.
He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty.
He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful
to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Thank you, Ivy and Lisa. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the word that you have given us to be our life and our spirit. Bless us, Lord, as we come before your word, that we can be obedient to the words that you speak to us. Illumine our souls that we can understand the mysteries hidden in your word, particularly during this Advent season. The word that brings joy and happiness in our lives. Help us to have an obedient and humble spirit before you, Lord. As you speak through your spirit, help us to be humble so that it will become a source of blessing in our life, and also we will become a source to this blessing to this world. Bless us with your presence and fill us with your word as we go from this place, so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you in the days to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The scripture that we read today, most of you are familiar with that song of Mary that we find in the Gospel of Luke. It's also called the Canticle of Mary or the Magnificat in the book of Luke. So there are about four songs that are listed in the beginning of the book of Luke. And they are, one of them is this Magnificat, Mary's song. And the other one, another one is Elizabeth's song, where Mary met with Elizabeth. Then Mary sang this song. Elizabeth sang a song also. And then the song of the angels declaring the birth of Jesus, the Gloria. And also we see the song of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and there's actually five. One more is about Simeon, an older man, a man who was waiting for the sight of the Lord Jesus. Simeon, he was also singing a praise to God when Jesus was presented in the temple. So Luke starts with these two chapters full of songs. And among all these songs, the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, or the Canticle of Mary, is more commonly used and prayed and sung in churches since church history. Mary's song is considered to have a special place in the worship in many, many churches. In fact, in many churches, they actually recite that song every Sunday in their order of worship. When Mary heard that she was the mother of Jesus, she was filled with joy. And as a child in a Sunday school said, sort of Magnificat, he said Magna Carta. Maybe it is so. That Mary was full of joy, rejoicing in the Spirit, as we read there today, that she sang this song in spite of the things that were happening in her life. So this prayer is a very important prayer and a document also in the church, because it is very revolutionary. And William Barclay, one of the commentators, say that it is the most revolutionary document in the world. It takes the standards of the world and takes it upside down. He read that there are three revolutions in this, that according to Barclay, that he's saying that it's an economic revolution that she talks about, a political revolution, and a moral revolution in that little song that Mary was singing. And Martin Luther said that the Magnificat comforts the lowly and terrifies the rich. It is a revolutionary song from a little teenage girl who was struggling with some of the decisions in her life and full of stress and anxiety, but rejoicing in the Lord and singing about the greatness of God and how God's system is different from the system of this world. It has the revolutionary power in that song, the Magnificat. So it's a very important song. During the British colonial rule in India, I read a history piece that the Anglican Church was trying to spread the Christianity in India along with their influence there. But the Anglican Bishop of Canterbury issued a verdict that they would not sing the Canticle of Mary in their regular church service anymore, because they were afraid that the revolutionary canticle may cause the Indian nationalist movement to revolt against the British Empire. That was the power of this song, that the British Empire refused to sing or told the churches not to sing this in India. So that is the power of this young girl's song in history, that revolutionized the concept of our system in this world. It describes a new order, that God totally changes the order of things. If you look at that psalm closely, that song closely, it is about God doing things. God did this. God is doing that. That is what Mary is continuing to sing, even though it was her who was blessed by the Holy Spirit to be the mother of the Lord Jesus. It was not, the song was not about her. She was singing about a God who is greater than any of her plans or any of her things in her life. And also she looked at the greatness of God and her own situation, where she was chosen to be a blessing to this world. Then God revolutionized the whole system, that she totally understood that there is going to be a change in this world through the son that she was going to give birth. The poor are put on the top and the rich at the bottom. It is a revolution of heart and mind and soul of the society. So if we come to the Magnificat and read that regularly as a prayer, it will revolutionize our lives and change our lives as well. This 13-year-old or 14-year-old little girl at that time, from a very unknown country place, Nazarene, nothing comes from Nazareth, and was not somebody who was considered to be of any importance or any significance at that time, and she did not consider that either. She was a peasant girl, just like any other teenage girl who was growing up and playing with other children, and she did not consider anything to be of any value in her life other than a regular peasant Jewish girl. But God exalted her, chose her to be the instrument to bless this world, to bring the child Jesus to this world. The song is a song of rejoicing. We read that in that he rejoiced in her spirit and started singing. In the middle of doubts and uncertainty and anxiety as to what was going to happen to her. And we all know the story of Mary bearing a child and an angel visiting her. We all sing glory and joy to the world and all those things, but it was not a joyful experience for Mary at that time. She was full of anxiety and stress, and her family did not know what to do, because according to the Jewish custom, when a girl gets pregnant like that, particularly when she was betrothed at that time, the custom was to stone her to death. In the middle of that life situation, it is very hard to rejoice and sing a song like this. But this little girl, filled with the Spirit, did that. And she did it with joy, without inhibition. She was full of joy and rejoicing in spirit when she did it. I don't know what you would do to something celebrate when you hear a good news. You know, some people jump up and start singing or dancing. And maybe the news of a new child or a new job that you have been waiting for, that you received, or a box of chocolates for some people, right? You will become so excited with joy and start singing and jumping around. Or maybe getting some green lights that I used to. Remember, that's one of the things that I enjoyed when I used to work for a company that I had to drive about 28 miles one way. And I counted every light, like 32 lights. I did for 4 years. And every light that I pass, when I get a green light, I get very happy. And for some reason, when I go to work in the morning, I get most of the green light. But when I go home, the work, I get all red lights for some reason. I don't know why that is. So when I go home and looking at my face, my wife would ask me, "You probably had all red lights today." So it was great. And one day, out of the blue, because I count every green light I get every day. I did that for fun, and also it keeps me driving. And every green light is a praise for God. And one day, I got all 32 green lights, believe it or not, one day. And I felt like pulling over and just start dancing in the parking lot. But I did not do that. That was one great day. Maybe if Eddie was here, he would ask me to take a lottery at that time. But that is a great exuberant joy that I enjoyed when I got all that green light. So I don't know what makes you become so jubilant like that in your life. Maybe a healing of a sickness, or your engagement, or whatever it becomes. The exuberant joy, the supreme joy that makes you that kind of jubilant, like Mary did. It might be you would be, things that you would do that you normally would not do. You would celebrate with that kind of joy. So Mary and her family were going through this very difficult time and stress during the time, but when the angel assured her that you are going to be a blessing to this world, she could not understand, and she asked the angel, how can it be? And then the angel explained to her that you are going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, and the child that you are going to give birth is going to be the savior of this world. And then your relative, Elizabeth, who is in her old age, who was considered not to have any children for life, is also pregnant with 6 months. And that was the assurance that the angel gave her. So after that assurance and the message that the angel gave her, she got kind of a peace in her heart. And her family also finally settled on the reality of the fact that God is going to do something great. In the midst of all of this, finally, she decided to take a trip to get away from all of this and to have some time. And she decided to go and visit Elizabeth, that relative who was bearing another child, and that was John the Baptist, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. So here, Mary goes to that village where Elizabeth was, and as soon as Elizabeth saw Mary coming, she was filled with joy and she started singing. Two girls, the two women were joined together with so much joy that we hear that Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb with joy as well. What a great joyous occasion that is. So this joy, that unspeakable that we sang today, is something that does not come to you, but it will become as a byproduct of how you live your lives. Sometimes we talk about pursuit of happiness. You pursue happiness. Can you pursue happiness? Well, if you pursue happiness, you are only going to be disappointed because you will never find it. The more you get, the more happiness you desire or aspire for. But happiness comes to you as a byproduct of God's work in our lives when we accept it. The meeting of these two relatives was a time of great joy and celebration. Elizabeth sang the song we call Benedicta, where she blessed Mary. And she also said that the mother of my Lord, that's what she called this little girl. And then Mary responded with a great, great rejoicing by singing the Magnificat. The supreme joy of delight because God descended to this peasant girl and she could not understand it. And it is not about her, but it's about a great God who chose that little girl to become the blessing of this world. Here is God who is big and great, who is taking a lowly peasant girl to do his magnificent work in this world. And the God is so big, that's what she's talking about in that song. The God is so mighty and powerful. And she could not even fathom the greatness of God that she was going to accept or bear in her life. Joy comes when you recognize the source of the ultimate power. And God is the ultimate power, and she realized that in her life. And the angel told her that nothing is impossible for God, and she accepted that fact. We all can rejoice like Mary because God has chosen us to be his children, regardless of our condition, regardless of our situation. Even when we were sinners, deserving no grace, and nobody really paid attention to us, God paid attention to us and chose us from among all the other people to be his children through his son Jesus Christ. That is enough to rejoice in spirit and sing praises to God. Generations to generation, we all can rejoice like Mary because God has chosen us to be his children. We can't make any contribution for our salvation, but it is only because of his mercy and grace. And that's what she's singing about, his mercy. And his grace is all about that Mary is singing. In Lamentations chapter 3, we read that God's mercies never fail. They are new every morning. The Greek word mercy that is listed here and also in Lamentation is a word kadua, meaning it is new and fresh, something that was never before. So every morning, God's mercy is new. In other words, like Moses sings in Psalm 90, that teach us to count the days of our lives. That means if you count the number of days of your age, you will find how many days, how many different unique mercies that you received in your life. For example, it is for a 10-year-old boy or a girl, he or she should have received how many? 365 times 10, 3,650 unique mercies every day. If you start counting your days like Moses did, don't take up the calculator, but if you are 50 or 60 years old, look at the number of days that God has blessed you with the new mercies, unique mercies. It is not the one from yesterday, because today's life is different, today's problems are different, today's issues are different. So God's mercy is also new for that particular day. Somebody wrote a book that says today's mercies for today's troubles and tomorrow's mercies for tomorrow's troubles. Every single day, God is giving us a new mercy that is fresh and new that has never seen before or experienced before. That is how much God has blessed us and continuing to bless us. And Mary did not view herself as exalted in any way. Many churches or many groups will exalt Mary to a different sainthood or an exalted position. Yes, Mary has a position in history as the mother of Jesus. But Mary herself did not count herself as exalted anyway. She was counting herself as lowly in front of God. And she was so happy that God chose her even in her lowliness of her situation. Even though Mary was God's servant, she also recognized the incredible blessing that God was bestowing her. She said, "For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." To be the mother of Jesus was an incredible honor. No other woman in history will bear that honor. Mary recognized that God chose her not because of her merits, only because of his grace. Dear friends, that is what we are. It is not because of who we are, but in spite of who we are, in spite of what we have done, it is only because of his greatness and his mercy that we are alive and we are here today. It would be difficult to imagine Christmas without a lot of celebrations around us. Good food and lights and decorations and all kinds of jubilations that we do during Christmas time. But the focal point about this all Christmas is about a great God descending up to us in our lowly situation and exalting us to a position that we never deserved. That is what the joy of Christmas is. And we also rejoice because there is hope for mankind. That is what Mary is singing. Mary's message is that the coming of Jesus into the world is the fulfillment of God's promises. And she was reciting from some of the scriptures about the promises that God has given to their fathers. And she held on to those promises of hope. Understood that God's covenant with his people, God has spoken to her fathers and in particular to Abraham. The promise that God made that there will be a great nation that will come out. And Mary saw that God was carrying out that covenant through her. And what a great, great joy that could fill her heart at that time. And now Mary saw that God was carrying out his covenant faithfulness in bringing the promised deliverer into this world through her. No wonder she was so filled with joy and excitement. We who believe in Jesus Christ now are the family of God. And we are all Abraham's descendants because of that great work that God has done to us. An elementary teacher wrote a piece of article called Memoirs of a Teacher. She was teaching a fifth grade class one time, and there was a young boy by name Teddy in her class. Teddy was a very sad and sullen and very withdrawn figure in the class. So one day, Miss Thompson reviewed his school record to figure out what is going on with little Teddy. And when she looked at his past records, the first grade teacher was all complimenting him for his brightness and his studies and how well he did in first grade. And then she looked at the second grade teacher's report, and second grade teacher also said excellent student as Teddy was, and he was well liked by his classmates, but is troubled because there were some problems in his family. The third grade teacher also made a remark that his mother's terminal illness has made Teddy becoming remorse and silent. And Teddy continues to work hard, but his mother's death had been hard, and his home life will soon affect him. That is what the fourth grade teacher wrote. So these are always affecting him, and nobody was really paying attention to them. But when he came to the fifth grade, he was a sullen, remote boy who would not talk to anybody, withdrawn from other people, and he would not do well in class as well. So when she went back and looked at all his records and found out the history of this young boy, how a great, smart, bright young boy from first grade gradually slipped into a position like this because of the situations that went through his life, she decided to take special attention to that child. So it was nearly Christmas time when children brought her Christmas wrapped in colorful paper, except for Teddy, who brought a brown paper bag. And when she opened all the gifts, there were all little ornaments and things like that that kids brought for as Christmas gifts. When she opened the brown paper bag from Teddy, it was a cologne bottle about half full. The other children began to laugh and make fun of that little boy about the gift, but the teacher clearly understood the value of that gift because it was the perfume of his mother who passed away that he wanted to present to this teacher. And Mrs. Thompson put the wore that perfume around her body during that time and complimented him for bringing that gift. And then Teddy, who was a silent boy, shy and withdrawn, stayed back after class that day. And thanked the teacher and said, "Miss Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to." And when the children left, the teacher really cried of happiness, of paying attention to that little boy. That very next day, Thompson became a different person in her life because of that boy. She started teaching children with a new perspective, how easily people can be forgotten and forgotten by the world. But if you pay attention to how valuable a life can be. She worked with Teddy, and he actually opened up and he started working and became a better student. And he passed with very good grades and went on to sixth grade. And a couple of years later, as he went on to high school, he came back and slipped a note under Miss Jean's, Miss Thompson's office. And when she looked at that note, it said, among all the teachers that I had so far, you are the greatest teacher. And when he finished high school, he wrote another note to that teacher saying the same thing. You are the greatest teacher I ever had. And years went by, he graduated from college, and several years after that, she didn't hear anything back from her. And one day, several years later, she received a letter telling how much he had appreciated her as his teacher, and she was still his favorite teacher. And it was signed at the end, Teddy Stoddard, MD, as a doctor who graduated. This is a story from a teacher's book that I read. And eventually, things were going well for Eddie, and he was going to get married. And the first thing that he wanted to invite was Miss Thompson to be there. And she went there. And she wore that same perfume. That teacher was saying the transformation can only come when you notice the power of care and love in other people. Transformation comes when you believe that with God all things are possible. Jesus came to this world as a little baby. The very Son of God humbled himself and became a man, because he believed you and I were worth it. Even if I am the only one, only sinner left in this world, he would have come to save me. That is how much God loved me. That is why Mary rejoiced in the Spirit and sang that song. Don't we all have that jubilant happiness that God has given us to sing? He has filled us with so much joy, knowing that even when we were sinners, God came and saved us. Because he believed in you and me, he sent his Son to die for us. Even when the world does not believe in us, there is a God who values us and believes in us and will choose us for the great mission that God has to accomplish in this world. May God fill you with that joy today as you go from this place, so that you can spread the joy to other people around this world. May God bless you with these words during this time. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 246 in this blue book, Joy to the World. If you are able, please stand.
Far as the curse is found.
people of God, go in the knowledge that God has chosen us, in spite of what we are or what we have done, to be a blessing to this world around us. What a great joy that will fill in our hearts because we know that. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.